Change the words, make me blind. Chapter 25. I'm worried about her. Kara's eyes snapped open. She hadn't been sleeping, not really. But even if she had been, the not soft enough sounds of her companions' voices would have been enough to wake her. They had been traveling together for more months than she could count by this point. And the seeker and his confessor still didn't realize that there wasn't a whisper in all the Midlands quiet enough to not reach the ear of a Mord Sith. If it wasn't so pitiful, their ignorance would have been amusing. Don't be, Richard was smiling, she could tell. She's fine. Kaelin, unsurprisingly, was neither smiling nor pacified. I'm not so sure she is. The gusty sigh that followed, melodramatic, really, could have come from either one of them. Richard had a habit of sounding like a hysterical woman when he was moody, and Kaelin was just as prone to sound like an arrogant male when she was. However, it was the Seeker who spoke next, and so Kara allowed herself to assume that the sound must have, in this case, issued from him. Zed checked her 3 times. He said there's no trace of the baneling magic left in her. There's nothing to worry about, Kaelin. She's clean. I know that, Richard, Kaelin snapped, sounding irrationally irritable, even by her standards. I didn't say anything about dark magic, and I didn't say anything about her still being a baneling. I just said I'm worried about her. Richard exhaled. It was a thoughtful-sounding noise, though Kara could tell, with no small amount of gratitude, that he still wasn't taking Kaelin's concerns too seriously. He was humouring her, of course, because he loved her, but he clearly wasn't seeing any of the things that Kaelin apparently was, and he didn't seem the least bit worried about Kara. For her part, the Mord Sith was relieved. She was perfectly fine, and did not need the Seeker or his confessor fussing over her like a mewling infant. Richard was right. There was nothing to worry about, and it was a waste of Kaelin's resources to feel as if there was. I never thought I'd see the day, Richard observed, gently teasing, that you'd ever admit to being worried about Kara. In the uneasy silence that followed, Kara knew that Kaelin was considering his words. It had been a very long time since Kara had felt anything less than the purest respect. She refused to call it affection, however close to the mark it was, for the mother confessor. But she would never let herself forget the fact that Kaelin had far more to forgive her for than she had to forgive in kind. Kaelin was a confessor, and that in itself was all the reason Kara needed to be ashamed of how she felt about the woman. Mord Sith were trained to hate confessors, to hate them more than anything else in the world, and it was the greatest humiliation Kara could think of, to feel anything other than disdain for one. In Kaelin's case, though, the hatred she felt, even before they had necessarily come together in service to Richard, ran far deeper than the clashes between their people. The depth of hatred Kaelin had felt, knowing as they all did what Kara had done to her family, must have been infinitely more difficult to overcome than her own, or anything else Kara could conceive. She would never admit it to another soul, least of all Kaelin herself. But after so long in the other woman's company, after so many months enduring and suffering her patronizing confessor's invasiveness, hearing her judging the least little things, being forced to listen as she extolled the virtues of feeling and compassion, this unguarded flash of genuine worry on Kaelin's part almost meant something. It was frightening. She's changed, Kaelin said, after a pause that seemed to stretch on forever. There's something new in her, since Leo... She trailed off, clearly at war with herself, and Kara felt her chest constrict, despite her best efforts to ignore the grief welling up like blood in the open wound within her. Since Leo, she's... I know, Richard replied, sympathy mingling with what sounded oddly like pride. Richard, Kaelin said, and the urgency behind the words caught Kara as much by surprise as she was sure they'd probably caught the Seeker. I could read her. What? Richard asked, the word a perfect echo to Kara's own sudden panic-stricken thoughts. Kara was more than glad that the Seeker had thought to ask the question, because she wanted answers. Confessors could not read Maud Seth. It had been that way as long as she could remember, and she had often taken a great deal of comfort from the knowledge that, whatever foolish sentiments Galen tried to inflict upon her, she could never truly know how Kara felt about them. It gave her no small amount of solace to know that, however conflicted and confused her own thoughts became, however difficult it became for her to master the unwanted tumult that poured through her from her, more and more with each passing day, she was at least safe from Galen's scrutiny. If that was no longer true, if she had somehow allowed herself to become an open book, readable even to a confessor, truly, she was no longer Maud Sith. When she was a baneling, Galen elaborated, and Kara fought to keep from whining. When she thought she was dying, I could read her. Had she not been so wary of revealing herself to them, Kara would have sat bolt upright at that revelation. More than anything in the world, just then, she wanted to see Galen's face, to swallow down the sickening pity she was sure would be painting itself across her features, to choke on her sympathy and her sorrow, until she found herself back in the underworld again, where she would be safe from all these things. It had been the weakest moment of Kara's life. The helplessness, the humiliation, the ever-present and irrepressible hunger. She had, in those final moments, ached for the embrace of death, and she hadn't even cared that it would bring with it an eternity of torment at the hands of the Keeper and Darken Rahl. She had just wanted to see those things end, to be finally free from the feelings that had taken her by the throat, and forced her to bow to their whim. She had wanted it to be over. What do you mean? Richard was asking. Kara didn't want to know. She couldn't hear this. She didn't have the strength to hear Galen praising her for being weak. What I saw in her eyes, Galen said, sounding almost awestruck by the mere thought of it. The rise and fall of emotion in her voice made Kara feel ill. Richard, I've never seen anything like it in my life. Richard didn't say anything. Kara wondered if he perhaps didn't know what to say. She prayed that he didn't, that he would instead tell Galen to go to bed and take over her watch, and that neither of them would ever speak of this again. It was bad enough that Kara had been weak enough to feel such unforgivable helplessness in the first place. But to know that her weakness had been witnessed, to know that Galen had looked into her soul in that moment and seen everything, not just suspected it, as she had with Leo, or presumed, with confessor's arrogance and no proof, to know everything about her as she had so many nights when Kara had woken from evocative dreams about her sisters, but truly seen it, seen everything, all that she felt, all that she was, seen her, it was too much to bear. She's changed, Galen repeated thoughtfully. She's not... It's not about loyalty anymore. She's not here because you're the Lord Rahl. She's here because she wants to be here. Because she wants to be with us. We've been good to her, Richard said, and Kara knew it to be true. Not many would give her a second chance like we did. It's not just that, though, Galen countered. She needs us. And not just because she doesn't have anyone else. She... Richard, if I didn't know better, I'd say she was frightened. Of what? Richard asked, a frown in his voice. Kara was thankful for his confusion. It was safer than the truth. She's among friends. That's why, Galen told him, lowering her voice even more than she already had. She's here because she wants to be. Because she cares about us. She couldn't quite bring herself to say us, she seemed, and Kara stifled a self-satisfied chuckle at that. About you. Kara was very tempted to stand up then, even if it meant revealing that she'd been awake and listening to the entire conversation. She couldn't hear this, and she certainly couldn't allow Richard to hear it. He was the Lord Rahl, and that was all he needed to know about why she remained at his side. Perhaps she couldn't conceal the truth of herself from the mother confessor anymore. But that was no reason to let her innermost thoughts be exposed to Richard as well. Caelan Amnell didn't know what she was talking about. Kara's pride insisted with characteristic stubbornness. She was mistaken, just as Leo had been. Kara no more cared about Richard, beyond her obligations as a Mord Sith to the Lord Rahl, than she had cared about his predecessor. And she no more cared for Caelan now than she had done when they had first started travelling together. The haze of mutual hatred shrouded by grudging and necessary acceptance. To believe otherwise was foolish, and it was absurd and unjust for Caelan to talk of such things with Richard. They weren't true. It was blasphemy. It frightens her, Caelan was saying, and Kara's fists clenched painfully at her sides. She's a Mord Sith, Richard. She's been trained all her life not to feel anything for anyone. All she knows is duty and honour. She doesn't know how to feel, and she doesn't know what to do with what she's feeling now. She's confused, and she's lost, and she's afraid. A low rumble left Richard's throat, deep and masculine. You got all that by reading her when she was a baneling. Coughing uncomfortably, Caelan said nothing, and Kara felt her cheeks flame with indignation. No, she realized. Caelan had not got all that simply from one weak moment. These things had been blossoming within her far longer than the last few days, and it would take a confessor far more powerful than Caelan Amnell to have seen it all with such clarity in one fleeting moment of readability. Kara herself wasn't even convinced that any of these things, these feelings, were real at all, and yet Caelan spoke of them as though she knew the deepest secrets of Kara's mind. Her heart, though she would never call it that. Better even than she herself did. It was more than the aftermath of her death and resurrection, and so much more than a confessor reading the near-death thoughts of a condemned baneling. I've been watching her, Caelan admitted, so quiet that even Kara with her perfect hearing needed to strain to hear it. Caelan, Richard started, gentle but firm. I know, Caelan replied, and Kara fought to steady her breathing and calm the killer instinct rising up within her, like an animal freed from its cage. I know I shouldn't. I know it's wrong, I know. But she's changed so much, Richard. There's so much more to her now than there was when she... when I almost confessed her at Stowcroft. She's become... a friend, Richard offered, very quietly. Kara didn't need to see the two of them to know that Caelan was nodding, and the fact caused her stomach to give another violent lurch. They weren't friends. They were travelling companions, no more and no less, bound together by a mutual respect for Richard, and the need to protect him from those who would do him harm, and, more often than not, from himself as well. They were nothing alike, and they certainly weren't friends. Confessors and Mord Sith did not become friends, no matter what circumstances happened to drive them together. And besides, Kara did not need a friend. She had herself. Suddenly no longer caring whether her companions would be angered by her eavesdropping, she lurched to her feet, far more unsteady than she would have liked or would admit. It didn't matter that it was the middle of the night, didn't matter that she was about to interrupt a private conversation, didn't matter that it was worse than impolite for her to show her face now. She couldn't listen anymore. Couldn't pretend anymore. She couldn't think. She needed to get away from them. Their words, their voices, their feelings, all of them. She needed to get away right now. I'm going hunting, she growled at the tree-shrouded silhouettes that marked her companions. And her voice was more death-like than it had ever been when she was a baneling. Ignoring their protests, she stormed past them, shoving one or the other, or possibly both, out of the way when they didn't move fast enough, and vanished into the forest. The announcement caught Caelan by surprise. Kara had been swimming deep in one of her silent periods, and her breathing had been slow and steady enough that the mother confessor had just assumed she was sleeping, even as she'd known better than to expect that it would last. Still, when Kara did finally speak, the words themselves came so completely without preemption that Kaelin was taken completely off guard by them. It shouldn't have surprised her in the least that Kara had made a point of using the transparent excuse of going hunting to cover the tracks of her apparent discomfort. That particular quirk was one that Kaelin was already intimately familiar with, thanks to her own Kara. She supposed it was just too easy for a Maud Sith simply to require some time alone, or to state that she needed to take a walk or clear her head or get some fresh air. No, it was always hunting, as though the pretense of taking a life, even the life of an unsuspecting rabbit, somehow made the need for solitude more worthwhile. As though making a show of tracking a meal somehow made it more honourable. Whenever it happened, admittedly not as often as she would have expected, Kaelin always found herself overwhelmed by the urge to follow and try to explain to Kara all the reasons why there was no shame in admitting that she just needed a moment to be by herself. For all the progress the Maud Sith had made in their company, some habits remained more difficult to break than others, and the need to present a constant illusion of value, even in something as pure and innocent as solitude, was one that it seemed even the other world's Kara could not be broken of. There was something reassuring in the rare flash of familiarity. More and more, as she watched Kara experiencing events so different to the ones that she herself remembered living through, Kaelin had grown increasingly aware of how unlike her Kara this other version was, and even more aware of just how little she knew of them both. Her Kara, broken and rough at the edges, was still hardened despite more than a year in the company of the Seeker and his kind-hearted retinue. She had never allowed herself to indulge in Leo's softer feelings, and Kaelin couldn't fathom her being lost in dreams, good or bad, or merely embarrassing, about her former sisters. She was a Kara distant from the life that had once been all she knew, uninfluenced and unaffected, despite having spent so long strangled by it. And yet the scars she bore from that corner of her existence were so fundamental that a thousand healing spells would never erase them. The life of a Maud Sith was all Kara knew, and it was a life entirely void of humanity. Though she had now carved the phantom of that life from within her, the void still remained where it had once been. The other Kara was easier, quieter in a lot of ways. There was very little of what Kaelin had seen in Dahlia that could be described as gentle, but it was close enough to make a difference. And the woman had, for all her countless flaws, been a permanent enough presence for such an important part of Kara's life that sentiment was no longer an alien concept to either of them. Kaelin's Kara had been broken of everything but pain, trained alone and hardened by her solitude. The other world's Kara had been given the gift of a kindred spirit, a mate to share the burden of those early tortures. And though that Kara was every bit as scarred and damaged and shattered as Kaelin's own Kara, she was also much more accepting of the fact, and much more aware of how to deal with it. Kaelin couldn't imagine her Kara doing many of the things she'd seen her partake of through the other Kara's eyes. And yet moments like this, a simple harshly muttered, "I'm going hunting," was enough to remind her beyond all shadow of a doubt that they were, beneath all their differences, the same person. For all the things that were so incomprehensibly changed, all the darkness and light that flickered between and across and through them both, they were both Kara. The purest essence, the innocent little girl, the bruised soul. They were all the same. Kara. Contrary to the initial outburst, Kaelin wasn't surprised in the least when Kara began to twitch and trash again. In fact, she would have been considerably more worried if she'd simply remained placid, and it was with something of a resigned sigh that Kaelin shifted their positions again. Moving swiftly to preempt any attempt Kara might make to hurt herself, she sat upright, unceremoniously hauling Kara up into a mirroring position, still circled in her arms. as numerous as the differences between the two versions of Kara were. Kaelin knew perfectly well that there was only one method any version of the Maud Sith would ever use to vent her frustrations, whatever those frustrations were, and she was frankly more than a little baffled by what had so affected her in this particular instance. Kaelin remembered too vividly the way Kara had been assaulting a tree when she'd found her at the Zed's announcement. Recalled the way she would have continued to drive her fists through the unyielding wood until there was nothing left of her. Though the tree, of course, would still be standing and laughing at her. She recalled Kara's reluctance to let her clean the damage to her hands. Recalled the way she'd visibly had to fight to keep from picking a fight, even with the Mother Confessor. And she knew that these things were far from uncommon, when the Maud Sith and their particular coping methods were concerned. No doubt, whatever it was that had bothered her to the point of needing to hunt, this Kara would be doing exactly the same. "Stop being a child," Kaelin said, gently chiding, even as she held Kara's arms down. "Whatever they did to upset you, I'm sure they didn't mean it, so just calm down." Kara growled, but it was almost kittenish, next to the unfettered fury that had come with so many of her previous altercations. If she hadn't been so reflexively afraid of being struck for daring to take amusement at Kara's expense, Kaelin would have laughed aloud at how close to sweetness the sound actually was. "Fools," Kara muttered under her breath, and the hushed lowness of her voice told Kaelin that it was quite probably the middle of the night. "Both of them fools." "I'm sure we are," Kaelin said easily, manoeuvring herself behind the other woman so she could tighten the grip she had on her arms. She didn't need to know the context of Kara's irritation, to know that she and Richard had to be the source of it. "I'm sure Richard and I, and probably Zed too, are very foolish. Now would you please calm down and go back to bed before you wake up the forest with your needless violence?" Unsurprisingly, though no less amusingly, Kara's only response was another dangerous growl and a redoubling of her efforts to break free. "This isn't helping anyone," Kaelin told her, and wondered why she couldn't be just as forthright when Kara was awake and aware. "You're just going to exhaust yourself, and then whose fault will it be when Richard has no one to watch his back the next time he gets himself attacked?" Kara's features darkened like a thundercloud, but her efforts stilled for a moment. She was panting, Kaelin realized, feeling vividly the muscles of Kara's back and shoulders as they heaved against her chest. "I am not their pet," she snarled. "I am not their friend." The word caused Kaelin to flinch despite herself, knowing as she did how Kara struggled with that concept. This Kara, it seemed, had just as much trouble with it as her own Kara did. And the realization struck her with simultaneous relief and sorrow. After all that Dahlia had done to her, for all the ways she'd shaped her, still, this was beyond her, even there. "They're not asking you to be your friend," she informed Kara, far more quietly than she either needed or wanted to. "But you can't stop them caring about you." "I have a duty," Kara went on, voice still low, grating like rusted steel. "Why can't they understand that? Why must there always be feelings? Why must there be some foolish sentiment to everything? It's never companionship with them, always friendship, always feeling." She went rigid in Kaelin's arms, and Kaelin didn't need her confessor's insight to know that she was trying to uproot with her bare hands whatever unfortunate plan she'd found. "They don't know the first thing about me. They're fools. Stupid, nostalgic, sentimental fools. Why is it so impossible for them to simply accept that Maud Sith do not feel?" "You do feel, Kara," Kaelin said gently. "You can deny it all you want. But we've all seen it. You feel. And you care." Apparently the truth behind the words struck Kara square in the chest in the same instant as Kaelin uttered them, because she lurched out of Kaelin's arms and resumed her blind assault on the air. "It's weakness," she snarled, and Kaelin was forced to dodge a flailing fist. "Kara," she shouted, a little louder than was strictly necessary, and caught Kara's wrists in her hands. Kara, stop it. Stop it now. To her surprise, Kara did as she was told. Good, Kaelin managed, breathless with the dual effects of her disbelief and her prior exertions. Now just calm down, all right? For my sake as much as yours. Kara bowed her head. For less than a heartbeat, Kaelin allowed herself to believe it was a gesture of acceptance, of acquiescence to her request, of kindness towards the woman who had been everything to her, whether she was aware of it or not. Though she knew it was silly, she allowed herself to believe that the stillness was Kara's gift to her. The moment lasted just as long as it took for Kara to close her eyes, straighten her posture, and breathe Richard's name. Kara. There was no chastisement in the name, no threat of discipline, and Richard's rugged, if characteristic, empathy only made Kara feel worse than she already did. I was hunting, she offered up in defense of herself. It was obvious, of course, that he knew her better by now than to believe such an absurd lie. There was, after all, no game within 10 leagues. But she would not allow him to know the truth of it. Not him, not the Lord Jarl, not Richard. Kara. She lowered her head, the curtain of her hair obscuring her face, but she refused to apologize. Richard, unlike his predecessor, didn't seem to mind the lack of respect in that particular gesture. At least not when it came to moments like this. And Kara felt her chest tighten with indignant anger. Why couldn't he raise his voice at her? Why couldn't he shout at her, strike her down, threaten her with torture? Why couldn't he eke out discipline for her dishonesty? Why couldn't he be the Lord Jarl for once in his pitiful existence? You shouldn't eavesdrop, he said simply, and Kara rolled her eyes. If this was his attempt at being an authority figure, she'd almost prefer the silence. If we'd thought for a moment you were listening, we'd never have said any of those things about you. But you would still have believed them, she pointed out softly. The need for violence and the fire sparking in her blood, all the more fiercely for having been interrupted, made her bolder than usual in his presence. You would still have felt those things, even if you hadn't said them. The Mother Confessor, Kaelin, Richard corrected gently, would still believe me to be her friend, Kara went on, spitting the word out as though it were poison. I'm not her friend, Richard, and she is not mine. We serve you together. It's nothing more or less than that. I don't think you believe that, he said, still speaking quietly. In a single large stride, he closed what little space existed between them and clapped a firm hand on her shoulder. Had he been anyone else, he would have found that hand removed by force in less than a heartbeat. But Kara couldn't protect the Lord Jarl and dismember him at the same time, and so she grudgingly allowed the gesture. I think, he was saying, and the fact that he was still talking made her seriously reconsider her prior decision. You're just afraid to admit you care about us. You only think that, Kara informed him icily, because Kaelin told you that was the case, and you believe everything she says. Richard made a sound that, had it been a fraction louder, might almost have been a growl. I believe it, he pointed out coarsely, because I believe in you. The words cut far more deeply than Kara had expected, and she steadied herself against the tree that had endured so much of her wrath already. She kept her gaze on the ground, not willing to look up and see the satisfaction that was no doubt creeping across Richard's features at the knowledge that he'd thrown her, and forced her breathing to steady itself. This was unacceptable. She should not be allowing such a pitiful display in the presence of Richard. In the presence of Lord Jarl. It was inexcusable. She forced herself to take a deep breath, holding it in for just long enough to make her lungs cry out, before letting it out slowly. Maybe you shouldn't, she said. He laughed at that, and the sound only served to set her even more on edge than she already was. I'm sure I shouldn't, he affirmed easily. You're not exactly the easiest person to have faith in, Kara, but that doesn't change the fact that I have it anyway. And so does Kaelin. Again Kaelin. Always Kaelin. Kara didn't know why the Mother Confessor's name filled her with such sick dread, or why she longed so often to forget she'd ever heard it spoken aloud. But it did. It did 1,000 times over, more and more with each repetition of each syllable, and more than ever when it fell from Richard's lips. She knew that the Seeker would be able to see those treacherous thoughts within her, even if she didn't speak them aloud, just as she knew that he would see without even having to look, just how uncomfortable the name of his precious confessor made her. She knew also that he would be saddened by the fact, and that cut more deeply than anything else. It made her feel as though she was somehow betraying him, as though her desire not to hear the name Kaelin Amnell was somehow a mark of rebellion against the Lord Rahl's desires, or worse, a mark of rebellion against Richard, he who had treated her with such respect, who had allowed her to serve him, who had welcomed her when nobody else had. He, who she loved as the Lord Rahl, who she respected as the Seeker, he who loved the Mother Confessor, and she who felt physically sick just to hear her name spoken aloud. She wished she could take back the feeling, even though she would never act on it, but she couldn't. She couldn't stop herself feeling it, couldn't stop herself hating the name, even as she knew it was only so because she could not hate the bearer of it. Worse, though, she couldn't deny that those feelings existed. If she tried, she knew, it would only make Richard sadder still, to think that she wasn't allowing herself to be honest with him. She was trapped. The Mother Confessor, she said at last, seeking out the closest thing to middle ground that she could find in this midnight haste world of swirling uncertainty, would be better advised to seek out her friendship somewhere else. I can't give her what she wants from me, Richard, and I can't be what she wants me to. Even in the barely existent light, she could see the way Richard's eyes softened at that, as though by voicing her thoughts she had somehow played into his hands. As though he was seeing exactly what he wanted to see. As though she'd given him everything he wanted without even realizing it. She would never understand him, she decided, and the realization sent a pang of unfamiliar sensation pulsing through her, raw as an exposed nerve, and uncomfortable enough to make her tighten her grip against the rough bark of the tree lest she lose her footing and topple over. She doesn't want anything from you, Richard was saying, and Kara didn't understand. Kara, Kaelin doesn't care about you because she expects you to care about her in return. She doesn't think of you as a friend because she wants, or expects you to feel the same way. Just because she cares. Kara, you're not obligated to care back. It's not a duty. Kaelin would never demand that from you, or anything else. He sighed, and Kara had no idea whether it was her inability to comprehend what he was saying that so frustrated him, or the truth of the words. She knows you can't. She knows it's more than you can do to let yourself feel things. After Leo, don't, she shouted, sounding tortured and hating herself for it. With more effort than she'd ever admit to, she forced her posture to regain its characteristic strength, holding herself upright despite her body's best efforts to upturn her, and stepping carefully away from the tree. When she didn't collapse beneath the first step, she took a second, standing before him as proud and tall as she was able. Richard, she said, speaking slowly and carefully, and not just because too much of her was engaged in staying on her feet. This has nothing to do with Leo. And it has nothing to do with whatever feelings Kaelin imagines I might have had for him. I'm a Morge Sith. We're not capable of such things. You can keep saying it, Richard sighed, sickeningly empathetic. But you can't make it true. You don't want to feel. You're afraid of it. Kara felt her jaw clench. Stop quoting Kaelin, she roared, before she could stop herself. Fists bawling over the handles of her aegils, as she struggled to keep from lashing out at him with them. As much to her aggravation as it was to her disappointment, Richard was unfazed by her outburst, and closed his fingers over the jutting bone of her shoulder. The contact made her queasy, and had it been anyone but Richard, she would have pulled away and broken his nose just for touching her. But it was Richard, and so she took it, as she had always taken everything the Lord Ral deigned to give her. "I'm quoting her because she's right," he said softly. "Cara, Caelan has 1,000 reasons to want you dead. We both know it's a miracle she hasn't confessed you 3 times already. But she hasn't, and she hasn't because she's come to respect you." For a moment, he let that hang on the air, and Cara prayed it would be all, but it wasn't. "And not just that, either. She's come to care about you, too. We all have. But Caelan especially. And I..." He closed his eyes, visibly frustrated, and Cara almost wished she could stop all of this if only it would make him feel less conflicted. It was her duty to serve him. In failing to grasp what he was saying, she was failing in her duty. "I can't order you to appreciate what that means," he went on after a moment. "I can't order you to understand how precious it is, or how blessed you are to have her wanting your friendship, even if you can't give yours in return. I can't order you to do anything, Cara, but I can tell you that Caelan Amnell is a woman worthy of your appreciation. Not because she's the woman I love, and not because she's the mother confessor, because she's Caelan." "I know," Cara whispered. "She did. That was why it hurt." Unable to keep facing him, even without the need to actually meet his eye, she turned around, delivering another unnecessarily violent blow to the tree that had been so polite in holding her upright until that point. The dull pain that pulsed through her fingers, right down to the bone, did little to assuage the tumult of discomfort that was rippling like quicksand within her. And so she struck the tree again, and then again and again, until she felt Richard hauling her back with a strength she knew it was paining him deeply to have to use on one of his so-called friends. "Cara," he offered, soft but with determination, slowly letting his hand drop from her shoulder, as soon as she let him know that she wouldn't return to the tree as soon as he did so. "If you really need to punch something, take a shot at me instead. I can defend myself. The poor tree can't." Rolling her eyes again, Cara fisted her agils. "As much as I'd like to render you unconscious," she said, and meant it, "you're still the Lord Ral, and it's still my sworn duty to protect you. If I took a shot at you, you would certainly not be protected." She could tell by the sparkle in his dark shrouded eyes that he'd been expecting that, and was amused by it. She wasn't entirely sure whether to be proud of that or not. "So spar me instead," he said, drawing the sword of truth with practiced ease and the familiar ring of rending steel. "Maud Sith don't spar," she told him, without thinking, and was wholly unprepared for the explosion of white-hot pain that seared through her heart like a heated blade. For a fraction of a second, it wasn't Richard standing before her, but Leo, his face damp with the sweat of exertion, his chest bare and perfectly angled in the glinting sunlight, the sword of truth resting so much easier in his hand than it ever had in Richard's, though she would never tell Richard that. For less than a heartbeat, she felt a flash of bitterness that stole her breath, and her treacherous heart screamed out that it should have been Leo in Richard's place now. Even though it was Richard she was sworn to serve, even if his absence would have meant that she had failed in her duty to protect him, even if it meant the worst had happened, that he was dead and the mother confessor bereaved and the wizard mourning his grandson, if it also meant she would see Leo's face smiling down at her instead of Richard's, laughing as he refused to take seriously her words about sparring, then she would take it, gladly, and without remorse. It marked her as worse than a traitor she knew. A crime punishable by death, though she knew Richard well enough to know that he would never allow her execution to be carried out for a few treasonous thoughts. And she wished there was enough left within her to feel shame and humiliation for failing so spectacularly in her sworn duty. She wished she could hate herself, wish herself dead, beg for punishment. But she could not. All her wishes and pleas were taken up by Leo. Kara? Richard asked, puzzlement mingling with concern. He could tell there was something wrong, but she knew he couldn't figure out what it was. I won't spar you, she said, voice so thick she was sure she would choke on it. Suddenly, he was gripping her by the arms, holding her steady in a desperate attempt at keeping her from collapsing, and she hated him for taking it upon himself to look after her like this, and hated herself so much more for giving him a reason to do so. Kara, he said again, quieter. You people, she rasped, feeling her eyes slide closed, even as she broke free from his grasp and turned away once more. You make me weak. You make me so very weak. Oh, Kara, Kaelin sighed, fighting back a fresh wave of tears. Why are you always so obsessed with weakness? Naturally, there was no answer from the motionless Mord Sith. But Kaelin rather suspected she knew what it would have been anyway. It was the only thing she knew. Strength, weakness, power or the lack of it. There was nothing else. It had been her life for so long that the concept was almost as precious to her as a favorite stuffed animal was to a child. She needed it, because it was the only thing she had to make the increasingly upside-down world make sense. Without the Mord Sith paradigms of strength and weakness, of power versus feeling, Kara would have nothing but her own moral conscience to guide her. And Kaelin knew that the idea of relying on her blossoming humanity must be a source of great terror to a woman like Kara. She could take on an entire Dhaaran army single-handedly, but she could not trust her own heart. Kara reached reflexively for her aegils, fists clenching and unclenching in spasmodic rhythm, as she sought the comforting pain of the weapons. Without even thinking about it, Kaelin leaned across to pull the rods from their sheets and take them away before Kara could touch them. Pain, expected but no less shattering for being that way, tore through every inch of her at the contact. A tortured gasp wrenched from her throat before she could even try to silence it, dissolving almost instantly into a series of choking half-whimpers. Though she had been struck with aegils before, and though she'd endured the lash of them on more than one occasion, and indeed by Kara's hand as well, the staggering weight of the pure, undiluted pain never failed to steal the air from her lungs and drive her with ever-increasing urgency towards oblivion. It was only through sheer force of will that Kaelin was able to keep herself conscious for the scant handful of seconds it took to shift the aegils even just a short distance away, just enough to be safely out of Kara's reach. And when they clattered from her numb fingers to the floor, the relief that flooded in to replace the pain, physical and psychological in equal measure, was almost tangible. "The things I do for you," she managed, breathless, rolling her eyes at Kara. The Mord Sith, of course, was less than grateful for the gesture, and Kaelin watched with shaky bemusement as her fingers continued to grope blindly for aegils that weren't there. Silently, Kaelin berated herself for not having taken the rods away sooner. It had been nearly 3 days, and she'd only now come to realize that removing Kara's weapons from her belt would have rendered her unable to keep touching them. I spared him because it was expected of me, Kara insisted. The words coming from nowhere, aegils forgotten already. Kaelin frowned expectantly. Zed would have been heartbroken if I'd killed his brother, and you would have sent me away. I can hardly be expected to protect you if I'm an outcast, Richard. Kaelin chuckled wanly at that hollow assertion. She remembered the incident well, of course. Kara having been killed in a scuffle and opting to take the Keeper's bargain. Life as a baneling, doomed to take a life every day for each of her own. And the vision of what would have been Kara's dying moments, if not for Zed's brother's self-sacrifice, swam unbidden before her mind's eye. She remembered it far too well to believe for a moment any of Kara's vain insistences that it was duty alone that had inspired her to willingly spare the old man's life. She recalled the way Kara's paling sunken eyes had flashed with guilt and regret, with sorrow and apology, and felt her heartstrings stretch too tight as she remembered the way it had truly looked as though Kara was repenting for every ill deed she had ever done in that one fragile heartbeat. Even in her world, a world where Kara was so much more resistant to compassion than the woman in front of her now, even her Kara had shown mercy to Tarikus Zoranda, and she hadn't even been able to deny it. Any idiot could see it. Who did Kara expect to convince otherwise? Of course, it hadn't been her duty to Richard that had kept her from slaying Zed's brother, so that she might live long enough to reach the source of Shadow Water and reverse the underworldly effects of baneling magic. Of course there had been more to it than obligation. It had been that very duty, that same obligation to serve Richard, that had caused her to become a baneling in the first place. Only an idiot would believe such a hollow lie without asking questions. "Believe what you want," Kara grumbled moodily, confirming Kaelan's thoughts as she seemed to reply to a challenge issued by her fandom Richard. "I'm telling you what it is." "You're telling him what you wish it was," Kaelan informed her pointedly, "because you're too proud to admit that it was you, not Richard, that made you want to spare an old man's life. Because you're too damn scared of your own heart and your own soul, and your own self to ever admit that you might care for someone other than yourself. Because for some stupid reason, in your own stupid head, it's weakness. That's what it is, Kara. That." Kara said nothing for some time after that, and Kaelan wondered if Richard was delivering a similarly stirring speech. She hoped he was, though she rather suspected he was just staring hopelessly at his own feet. Not that it mattered, anyway. It would take so much more than a pretty speech to break through Kara's defences, and Kaelan knew that perfectly well, even as she wished it wasn't so. She had tried, more times than she could count, and Richard had tried just as hard. It hadn't made the least difference, and perhaps it never would. There was no room for frilly speeches and pretty words in the heart of a Morcerf, even if that heart was softened almost beyond recognition. Perhaps, especially to a heart so much removed from what it had once been. Perhaps, more even than any other, to Kara's heart. Kara had a point, Kaelan supposed, as deeply as it pained her to admit it, when she fell back on her Mordsith training as an excuse to keep from letting herself feel. It was an excuse, of course, but it was also valid. There were some things, some traumas, that no amount of nurturing could ever undo. And it made Kaelan tremble with near physical pain, to think that this might yet prove itself to be one of them. Perhaps Kara's heart was simply beyond repair, in any world. "I can't be what you want me to be," Kara said at last. It wasn't the first time she'd made the point, but this time the words reverberated through Kaelan's head like rain on a pane of glass. "Send me away if you must, or else accept it." It seemed, Kaelan thought, suppressing a heartbroken sob, that the two versions of Kara weren't so different at all.